Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger. Hey, welcome to Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger. I am said dipshit. With me is my old pal, Rhea Butcher. Welcome, Rhea.
What up, Matt?
What up? Welcome to my home. This is Pangea, our giant couch we named after the first continent.
I love it.
My wife and I got. Basically, for those of you who are listening for the first time, we dole out advice from the position of being a dipshit based on your mistakes, but actually your life and kind of my position is, yes, I am a certified dipshit for sure, but I think we all are on some level if we're honest with ourselves. And the great thing about this show is that I never hear the calls before they play, and neither does my guest.
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. What have you been up to lately?
Lately, I just did a few tour dates. Nice. That was really great. Pacific Northwest and Boise, Idaho.
Great.
And also was just in Arizona. And so then I've got some coming up in March. Well, I'm in Santa Ana February 16th for a LGBTQ fundraiser.
Cool.
At the Frida Cinema. And then March 1st, I'm in Chicago at Thalia Hall. And then March 2nd, I'm at the Gramercy Theater in New York. And then the following weekend, I'm at the Vermont Comedy Club, and I've never been to Vermont before.
I just played the Vermont Comedy Club for New Year's Eve weekend, and it was a blast.
A lot of fun.
That couple that runs it is the sweetest, nicest. They're good peeps.
I can't wait to trip over everyone's Birkenstocks.
Yeah, it's so granola rich. So granola rich there.
It's not bare naked granola.
No, it's not.
Crunchy.
I was about to say it's not exactly Eugene, Oregon, but it's I mean, it's pretty much the same place in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. White people with ponytails. So
for sure. For sure. But their hearts are, God bless them, hearts are in the right place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Their hearts are a little horseshoey, but, it's... Hey, you gotta listen to other people sometimes, but look, make your granola and keep to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So on that note, and by the way, you look fantastic.
Oh, thank you, Matt.
You look very
healthy.
So thank you. It seems like you've been. I mean, I know you're a baseball star and you're very athletic.
Sure. Yes.
But
yeah.
You seem to be keeping yourself
in
off season. Real good shape.
I lost a little weight.
Yeah.
That I maybe didn't need to lose.
No, you did not need to lose it.
I put some more back on, which is probably good.
Good.
I was like a little gaunt for a minute, and it happens, but I feel pretty good.
Okay.
I just got to get these little spindly arms back into shape.
Got to go back to curling.
So I know.
Yeah.
Curling and hurling, baby.
come with me to, Training Mate or something, and the gay Australian rules football men will yell at you the way they do
great.
At me.
They're love being yelled at by gay men.
And it's always in happy ways, which
course.
Is great.
It's always like, why aren't you a boy? And I'm like, I don't know.
No,
I wish that was...
They might find you attractive on some level.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, Matt, they do.
Yeah.
I can tell you from personal experience.
I meant, I know they will, but I'm just be ready for that. I'm not telling
always
you anything.
Always ready.
You don't know, it's good. I got to be that way too. I think all three of us in this room, we got to be ready
that
people
be
attracted to us. Like, all right, ease up, relax.
Fighting them off with a stick.
It's tiring.
It really is.
On that note, let's roll the first call that Amanda has hand selected.
All right.
Hey, Matt, it's Caroline. I just want to start with saying thank you for coming to the Levity Live at the Palisades Mall in West Nyack, New York, in 2018. You gave an amazing show. So I recently made a few changes in my lifestyle to tone down the chaos. I'm working out again. I deleted the dating app. They reconnected with friends. Taking a break from alcohol, got a new therapist, and I'm trying to get more sleep. The other thing I started getting back into was going to comedy open mics. It's cathartic. I meet a lot of people. Definitely a good substitute for the dating apps. I know I need to keep going and writing in order to get better, but I always seem to stop when I get into a romantic relationship. I'm not really in danger of that right now, but I would like to keep going and quit quitting. And I'm sure this is like a cliche female problem, but you're pretty emotionally intelligent. What are your thoughts?
Wow. Well, first off, thanks for seeing me in West Nyack. That's a surprisingly good club inside a mall that I played. And that was nice. It's nice to hear that because that was an extremely rough weekend for me. I found out my friend died driving that weekend. And by the way, if someone who hasn't called you in a long time calls you, don't pick up the phone when you're driving. Because it was that. Are you driving right now? You should pull over. You know, like thing
oh,
where you're
wow.
like, yeah.
Oh,
so I don't know if she saw me that last show I had to do, and I think it still went okay. Anyway, long story long. Anytime someone brings that show up, that's that weekend. That's what I think of. But thank you. I will throw this to Rhea.
Yes.
If you so take
Great.
It away.
Well, number one, congrats on, like, making all those changes in your life. It's hard to see those things sometimes, and then, like, making those changes are a really big deal. And, you know, taking a break from drinking is I think, always good. And
yep.
I personally am a sober person now, and that's really helped me a lot. I also, like, I quit smoking right before I started doing stand-up, and that's, like, one of the best things I ever did because, like, I fully quit. So... just to speak to quitting for a second. Sometimes there's great things about quitting. But I guess, and I don't want to be super judgmental about it. And especially, I can't really throw too many rocks at too many glass houses here because of my own specific life. But I think that...
Rhea, that's what we do here.
Yeah, exactly. I just think that, like, if you're... You have to, like, separate the two things. You have to separate dating, and you have to separate comedy. And, like, if you want to be doing comedy, then you got to do comedy and maybe not date people in comedy. Because if you then get in a romantic relationship and then you tend to quit, well, then that's what's going to happen, probably.
Yeah.
So I feel like you can't... I mean, you could date people that are coming to watch the shows and not other comics. Like, maybe you just need to set a personal boundary and say, like, I'm just not going to date people in comedy.
Yeah. I mean, listen, let's be honest. You're operating from a position of not a lot of knowledge. You've never dated another comedian. So
yeah, I've never done that in my never done that in my life.
But
yeah, no.
I it's funny, just to piggyback on what you said. I think it's really just about erring on the side of not. And also, just if you're thinking about dating another comedian, really try to be as sure as you can.
Oh, yeah. And I'm assuming that you're a straight person. You didn't say that you're a straight person in this call. So I don't mean to make assumptions, but I feel like you would say you were gay if you were gay. So
I would imagine.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it that way. And I feel like something to consider. And it's something that I also consider. Like, I spent a lot of time considering this before I started dating another comedian because it changes who you are in the scene. It changes what you're doing on stage.
Right.
It changes everything. So, like, it's not just, especially as women, and I'm using air quotes because whatever, I identify as a non-binary person, but a lot of people still consider me a woman. So, I'm in that category. It just changes everything when you start dating somebody. And especially if you're a woman dating a man in comedy, it's just a power dynamic that you cannot control it.
It's tough.
It's out of your control.
It's out of your control. And, you know, I am married to people that listen to the show know this, my ex-manager. And it was one of the hardest periods of my life where I realized that I had strong feelings for her. And she'd been very clear about her feelings, you know, and I had been, you know, just that rare man that's noncommittal.
So
I was definitely an albino gorilla by myself in the jungle. No, it was that thing of guy, I feel like I'm, it was like an untenable situation where it was either like we all either got to go full bore or nothing at all. And I think you're going to run into that same situation.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, as much as I'm very happy the way it turned out, the way it did, I wouldn't wish that those couple years or parts of them on anyone.
And you weren't like starting out.
Right.
you were an
more
already established person.
More
yet.
To the point.
I mean,
yeah.
on top of what you're saying, which was very difficult to deal with and wade through, like, you weren't a comedian at an open mic trying to figure it out.
No.
Like, having feelings for your manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's
no,
just...
No, totally.
The open mic scene is such a specific beast. She's in New York. But I just think you really can't date around in it. Because if you're trying to get your hooks into the scene and the job and doing it, you know, I think...
Yeah.
After you've figured out this is what I want to do, I am committed to this thing, then maybe you can start dating.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You can start looking at it, and you've been around a little bit. Because, like, if you're jumping in and out of the scene, like, these people, you don't know them.
Right.
And that's why you want to date them, because you don't know them yet.
Yes.
But if you're going to stay in the scene of comedy, and it's going to take a couple years in the open mic scene to keep doing it and start doing shows and stuff like that. If you date the people now, these are the people that you are doing comedy with kind of forever.
Yeah.
Like, even if you move, you will still have this memory of these people. You will still have been part of this scene no matter what, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, I think that's something we forget about. I mean, it's not specific to comedy. It's everything. These are the people. The people that you're with. This is your class.
Yeah.
This is who you're with.
Mm-hmm.
And memories are very long.
Right.
Especially with this sort of dynamic, you know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a cultural issue. But that's all stuff to consider, I think, if you want to do this job or you want to do this hobby, whatever it is. Whatever your commitment level is, you have to judge how much your commitment is to comedy and then how much your commitment is to dating.
Yes, and just go ahead and do yourself a favor and try not to date comedians because, like what you said, you're going to work with them later. And at one point, a few of you will get shows and will want to populate your writer's room or possibly cast. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, I mean, the hard and fast worst thing you can be in this business, well, not worst, but the thing you don't want to be is difficult, branded difficult. And women, sadly, have been branded difficult for stupid reasons. But a lot of times guys really earn it. They really, really earn that thing. And so do some women and blah, blah, blah. But it's so A, you try to avoid being difficult, but also if you've dated someone and it ended badly, maybe not your fault, maybe not their fault, maybe nobody's fault, that person probably not going to hire you as a writer on their show. And you probably
and
not want
to... And also going to talk to other people.
Right.
And it's like, it's just, it's so
thorny. It's a minefield.
It's so thorny and so much shit to deal with. Not to mention, like, even say you have a great relationship with somebody, everybody else is talking about this shit. So, like, obviously, if you meet somebody and you... over the course of time, like, realize my whole thing is you just have to really think about what you're doing.
Yes.
You have to be very deliberate about dating a person. Like, you can't just casually date people.
Yeah, no.
I don't think men should do it. I don't think women should do it. I don't think non-binary people should do it. I just don't think you should do it. Casual dating in the scene because
and
the power dynamics are just effed up. They're just really effed up.
That's
and, like,
true.
they don't benefit... They kind of only benefit the dudes, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. So I need to course correct a little bit.
Yeah.
Because this tangent was great, you two. Not what she was asking.
What was she asking?
She was saying that she's like
changing her life
and she's getting all into all of this healthy stuff.
Yeah.
And she has the habit of once she meets somebody and jumps into a room and gets into a romantic relationship, she lets everything go. How do you like, so it's not like what you're saying isn't totally applicable, but it is what she's asking for is a bit different.
I think that just goes back to self-care. It is. You can never stop focusing on self-care, at least on some level.
You have to set very specific boundaries, and you have to make a commitment to yourself that you're going to maintain these things.
Yeah.
And, like, actually write them down on a piece of paper and, like, put them on the wall.
Yeah.
And then when that person is like, come over at 8 a.m. or come over at midnight, you have to really consider, like, is this going to benefit me? In my daily practice.
Yeah.
Like, you honestly have to think, like, this is my daily practice. Does this fit in?
Yeah.
And, like, there are times that you're going to be like, you know what? Fuck it. This is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be times where you're like, no, I need to get up at 7 a.m. I'm not going to go over there. You know? Like, you have to actually set boundaries in a dating relationship to have... not every single one just be like, woohoo!
Yeah, and also if you're getting attracted to someone who's like, all I eat is steak and exercises for dum-dums.
Yeah,
you're like,
don't date that person.
I probably should. they're good looking, but I probably shouldn't. Nah, not my bag. Yeah.
There we go.
There, thank you.
I think it's all value,
Tangents were beautiful. Both of you got really passionate.
Hi, Matt. My name is Brittany. I'm from Minnesota. I've been married for about 3 years now, and it kind of feels like we are reaching a Y in the road where we both kind of have different priorities. So my husband is more interested in buying a house or maybe starting a family and whatnot, and I am still in the mode where I would like to travel and have more experiences before I feel like I'm settling down. So we have little arguments about this all the time, and they never go anywhere. So I was just wondering if you have any advice on this. Thank you so much.
Did she say up top they'd been married for 3 years?
Yes.
Okay.
So married for 3 years, and...
She didn't say how long they've been together overall, though, right?
Correct.
No. So basically, they're married 3 years, and she feels like they're growing apart.
Right. Both of them. Yeah. It's now getting to like crucial priorities time. And all of a sudden, they seem to be wanting very different things.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So, it's a tough one. My advice would be to go to a couples therapist if they're not already doing that to sort of like discuss these things with a third party so that they can maybe get at some deeper. Because I think those things sound like very like cut and dry stuff. But I think that you could get to a common ground of like, okay, this is because they didn't say how old they are. So I don't know, you know, biological clock stuff.
Right. But
like, I don't know how much money they make. Like all this stuff is very, you know, you could be like, well, sounds like you guys have different priorities and you should get divorced. Or you could say like, we're going to go to a couples therapist and we're going to talk this out for a couple months and see if we can come to some understanding of each other that like, hey, for a year, let's go travel and see some places together. Let's have like a second long honeymoon, and then after that year let's start putting together, you know, a plan of these other things.
Right. Yeah, I think it just comes down to couples counseling where you just need someone to kind of get, I mean, that the biggest thing about therapy and one of the best things about being in a relationship for me is perspective, just having someone that makes me look at things a different way, you know. I got a little piece of pizza earlier and I sat down with my phone and looked at my emails and I got an email that was like a rejection, my PR person, blah, blah, blah. I won't say what it is, but I was like, I took a bite of the pizza and threw it in the trash, which A was fucking stupid. I shouldn't waste food. And B, it's not the end of the world. But
opposite
then
of emotional eating.
I talked to my wife and she was like, oh, well, that person, this. And I was like, oh, and it's that thing where I won't even get into all the things, but you could sit down with your husband and this therapist, and this therapist would go, oh, well, here's what you guys are missing. And it'll just interlock the pieces. I think it sounds like she obviously cares about this person a lot, and she's interested in saving it. So, I mean, that's...
I think that's all that matters, too. You know, like Brittany, I think for her, it's like, as long as both of you want to try, you'll figure it out. But yeah, you need a therapist because these are big things.
Yeah, those are big things.
Right. He wants to buy a house and have kids and she still kind of wants to, you know, travel and.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's like Willem, who was on the show, and he and his husband went to a couples counselor, and they both they bonded over how much they hated him when they left, and Willem blew his husband in the car. And
it, right. That was such a good
story.
That
I was like, "What the? Are you writing a sitcom right now? What's happening?"
That was so good.
It's just going to therapy, even if it's not great, is better for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes I think you can get really hung up on, I want this and I want this. And then it becomes less about the things and more about, we don't want the same thing. And then maybe you need a reminder of the things you want that are the same, that aren't those two things, you know, like those two things become in opposition, because realistically speaking, like you could have a child and continue to travel. You could buy a house and continue to travel, but a child and a house, that's kind of a lot all at once, you know? And so, like, I think what you need to actually do is just sit down and make a plan together of, like, how do we make this stuff work?
Yeah.
You know? I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just keep in mind, if you had literally everything you ever wanted that you just wrote down, you as an individual, you would be miserable.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you compromising for someone you care about gives you things you didn't even know you wanted.
100%.
That's what I've learned, you know.
Also, you can tend to like say, well, I want to travel instead of saying, you know what, I don't want kids. You know,
right.
The reality, and I don't know if this is the case for this person, but I think you should really spend some time going like, do I actually want kids? Do I actually want to buy a house? And realistically looking at why it is that you want to travel. Because it could be, I want to travel, and I don't think these things are compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could come up with a plan. Or you could be like, you know what? I need to be honest with myself and with you and say, I don't think I want kids.
Yeah.
And then you have to have a real conversation about
it. And be honest with yourself and take yourself out of it and go, hey, would anyone care if I did or didn't have kids? Would anyone care if I did or didn't have a house?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big reason a lot of people just do it. I guess I should. Yeah. And there's no should.
The I mean, also, like, the American dream of it all is like, well, I mean, do we need to be doing this? Like, not everybody needs to be doing this.
No.
Like, there's not a... whatever. Anyway, a lot of answers, but I think ultimately you have to, like, look at yourself.
We do that, too, where you see if you're like, you have six kids?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Do you have solar panels on everything then?
Eating
up how many resources? Why the fuck? No. Why do you have fucking six kids? Like, part of me just gets angry.
Well,
where it's
course,
just like,
yes.
It's what I always wanted. Yeah,
is
but
it?
I mean, you recognize our planet needs help, please.
Right.
And anyone out there with more kids than six or six, I'm not knocking you, but I'm just saying that's something that rises inside of me. That's like, you know, easy
but
for me to feel that way.
At the same time, we do need those six children to build a coalition to rise up against the billionaire class
that's
and take
true.
Them down.
That's true.
You know, like the corporate rape of this planet.
Yes.
Both of the families I know who have a lot of kids are very cool parents.
I'm sure.
Like, I'm so hopeful for that generation.
Yes.
Like, you know,
yeah.
But yeah,
mm-hmm.
Like needing help on the farm and you had kids. Now we need like help to take.
Yeah.
Down
well, you also used to have a bunch of kids because most of them were going to die before they were 10, but that's not really the case anymore. Unless you're like anti-vaccine or something. Shots fired for
no,
me
this,
today.
There's anti-vaxxing hippie types in Oregon right now.
It's
like
insane.
Spreading measles. It's like,
oh,
come
yeah,
on,
I heard
measles.
Polio came back.
It's
Jesus
ridiculous.
Christ.
Yeah, man. all right.
Okay.
Final question. So this question is one of the original voicemails we ever got.
Cool.
And it just hasn't been the person to answer it correctly. So I want to say... To Chris, thank you for being so patient and calling in back in, like, August.
Wow.
So, all right, here we go.
Hi, Matt. My name is Chris, and I've been thinking about becoming a vegetarian, and I'm wondering what advice you would offer about that. Thanks very much.
Hey, Chris, first of all, thanks for waiting so long for us to record your little call.
Thank you.
For those of you watching, Chris just asked if he should become a vegetarian. He's thinking about becoming a vegetarian, and he wants my input. I will instead throw it to an expert next to me who is a... Are you vegan?
No, I'm vegetarian.
Vegetarian.
Yeah.
Vegetarian. Perfect.
I've been vegan. I was vegan for like 3 years, and then... I got really sick of multiple things. Like, I like eating vegan, and I, you know, will say the thing that most people say, which is I'd love to be vegan if I had, like, a personal chef. It's totally doable if you just make the commitment, and I could make the commitment again. But I have been vegetarian my entire life, and I was like, you know, I feel like I've done it, and I don't really need to put myself through this extra thing of, like, feeling gray all the time. And I actually just kind of got tired of talking about my dietary restrictions on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
And also the people I was hanging out with were really atrocious, so that was part of it. You know, anyway. But so in some ways, it's actually kind of hard for me to give advice on this because I was raised fully vegetarian my whole life, so I never made the choice to do it. In the same way that this person is. However, I did and do continue to make the daily choice to be a vegetarian. So I have advice on that. I think that, A, it's a great choice to make because personally, I mean, I still consume dairy, so I don't have this fully removed from my life. But I do think that it means something to not consume a dead thing. And this is not, I'm assuming you guys both eat meat.
Yep.
So I don't think I'm like better than anybody else or anything. But for my particular life, I feel like it has just given me a perspective on existence that I really appreciate. That like, I don't consume something that died. You know, because I think that also you can consume things that have died and appreciate it.
Yeah.
For me, that's ultimately what's missing in our society. Because like if people were, you know, having any amount of connection to the meat that they were eating, like if you had to actually look at the animal that you were going to eat later that night, like that I fully appreciate as like a dietary thing. Like human beings do eat meat. We're kind of supposed to. Not as much as we do. But that's what I think is missing in our society. And I think it would actually... benefit our society fully if we had to confront any of this stuff, like understanding this cycle instead of it just being like animals in a factory somewhere so far away that we never interact with.
Right.
And then it just shows up in front of you. Like it removes the cycle of life from your actual life. And I feel like it's created a sort of ghoulishness in human beings.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we, as a society, could use to confront. But my advice is try to do it as healthy as possible. You know, like look into some simple meal plans, you know, maybe even start with, there's a lot of, you know, like meal delivery services that are pretty great that are vegetarian. One that's, I think it might be local in Los Angeles, but maybe it's, I don't know where you live, but I'm sure there's something you can find even at like your local sort of health food store. You can get sort of prepackaged stuff, which isn't ideal for the environment, but it's a good start.
Yes.
You know, I don't mean like live on this forever, but like find some stuff that you like in those prepackaged meals that are like fresh and made by that deli or something that day. Eat those things and then go, okay, now I'm going to start making this for myself.
Right.
You
on.
Know, and then like there's a lot of quick and easy stuff. And don't do what I did for a lot of my life, which is only eat cheese pizza. It's like not great.
No.
Because there's like such good vegetarian options these days. Uh-huh. Like when I was growing up, it was really bland and boring and lame. But there's so much now.
No, I mean, the internet has changed everything. Where if I can, you can literally Google healthy vegetarian hearty or whatever, and something will come up that's like very filling, but vegetarian, but and maybe not too much bread or cheese.
Totally. You know?
There are so many options, and I do eat meat, but I have it, meat is like I've scaled it way down, especially red. There are thousands of reasons to stop eating meat beyond that of the ethicalness.
Yeah, the ethicalness. Ethnic too.
Well, it's funny. There was a guy that the people really went after that was like a white vegan punk rock dude that was like, oh, meat dishes are so delicious. And there was a picture of like a Chinese hot pot and this.
Have you seen that? Oh, I saw that.
And it talked.
It was that very accurate. I mean, it was.
That guy talked about how quinoa is just getting wiped out.
Yeah, that was a fascinating lesson.
Yeah, because I mean, white veganism. No offense, not vegan anymore. But like, you know, I'm not talking about you.
Of course.
But it's like,
but also you are, and I'm happy to be counted in that.
Well, no, but we I would even just say in a large sense, Americans. It's like I want this vegetable now. And it's like, it's out of season.
Right.
Fly it in. Yeah. And it's just like,
well, capitalism.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just,
which is going back to what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
You know, it's like,
that's exactly what I was thinking about.
We need. It's you get whatever you want, whenever you want it. And it's always been like that.
The amount of suffering that other people and things endure for our convenience is baffling.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's like, that's the thing
I'm
trying to.
And it's packaged as convenience now.
Of course.
Because it wasn't always convenience. It was just like. It used, you know, we used to have barter systems and like, I have this much surplus of this thing, so I'll trade you for this, which makes a lot more sense than just like this imaginary thing that we made up to replace bartering.
Right.
And then like, well, now I got to churn out as much death as I possibly can and it's going to go bad and I'm going to throw out half of it, but I made it so that you might buy it. It like doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. But, back to the micro.
Yeah, of course.
I think it just comes down to Googling meals and hopefully, you know, possibly getting some sent to you. And also, like, not to quote, there's a shout out to Tom and Christina on Your Mom's House. I got a neighborhood alert the other day where a guy, and there's a little picture of him, and he looked like, he was in some kind of disguise, but he looked like Samuel L. Jackson from The Hateful Eight. And he stole someone's bike seat and left a butt plug. In its place or something.
That's a great use of the barter
system. And it just came up. And I was like, I'm going to Instagram this, but everyone else in my neighborhood did. Paul F. Tompkins did. A couple other people did. And I sent it to Tom because there's a guy that they've talked about who's made this video that's just, he has a big mustache. Listeners are going to be very furious with me who are fans of that podcast because I don't remember his name. I think it's Terry. And he's a guy who like lays in his bed and says horrifically disgusting sexual things he's into, like getting peed on and stuff. And his thing is like, try it out.
I love that you're like horrifically disgusting sexual stuff. And he's like getting peed on.
Okay. Yes, it's not
no,
so
but
bad.
I know it's just like, oh, peed on.
That's about the most vanilla thing.
Yeah, of course.
Of
yes,
his
no,
stuff,
I understand. You're going
and he's
slow,
like, and
but
and
it was just a
there,
real funny build up
right
to.
Up. But he goes,
piss play.
Yes, but his line is try it out. That's what he likes to say. Just try it out. You don't know if you like it or not.
But, I mean,
so
that's very accurate.
He looked kind of like the Terry, the try it out guy. So. Back to what I
yeah,
my
try it
bring
out.
It all the way back.
Yes.
Try it out.
Try
veggie. Try vegetarianism out.
Yeah.
Because it's
That's
not.
Where that story was.
Yes, because you can find so many delicious things
it's
to eat.
It's just like piss play.
That are filling. That are filling.
And, but I think you do have to prepare yourself to not be as full as you're used to eating meat foods
you
and stuff like that.
You gotta let your body adjust.
You gotta be prepared that, like, ooh, this you're gonna feel like maybe a little tired, maybe a little, because your body is adjusting to what it was getting too much of other shit.
Right.
Because you were lethargic in a different way that you're not gonna remember, because it's a new lethargy that you're gonna have for, like, I don't know, probably a month on vegetarianism.
Right.
But your body's getting rid of a bunch of stuff and it's reconfiguring what it's consuming and how much it wants to consume. Yeah. So just, like, be ready for that and have, like, snack foods like almonds and nuts and stuff like that.
Nuts, bananas, avocados will be your salvation. Try not to lean on the bread and the cheese too much. Because that's what, anytime I've tried any kind of stretch of vegetarianism, I will eat pizza. I will eat, like, crackers
I'm
and cheese all
monster.
The time. I love cheese so much. Yeah. So
it's so bad for you.
But Steve Agee is on, like, a diet, and he talked to us about it, and he was like, the beginning of it was
It's gnarly.
Rough, where he was, like, explaining his struggles just to interact with, like, daily community.
Oh yeah, it's super. It's wild how much food affects your
his cravings for sugar.
Yeah,
were
his
just like he was
sugar
like,
is
he
so
he was like tripping.
Yeah.
There's a really great Freakonomics episode about sugar that, like, I feel like everyone should listen to.
Oh,
that
God.
Like
I'm afraid to listen to.
You know,
it.
There's so much regulation that has happened around alcohol that, like, you know, like getting it out away from kids and stuff. That it effect the effectiveness has been really good in the past, like, 30 years, but there are more, like, the effects of alcoholism, like, a physical bodily harm that it does to you, has risen in children because they're eating so much sugar.
Wow, amazing.
And it has the same, like, harmful effects on your, it basically is killing your liver.
Oh, wow.
Like, soda is killing your liver.
I'll see if I can find this, and I'll put it in the, like, the info section
of
this podcast. That'd be
that
cool.
Episode.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Amazing.
Well, glad we finally got to you, Chris. I'm sorry. It took so long.
But it's going to, I mean, we're saying all this stuff. It's also, like, really fun.
Cool.
Like, vegetarianism is great. Like I said, I feel like a different, I don't know. I'm a different person than people who eat meat. So it's like just an interesting thing about me. And then you meet other vegetarians and it's cool.
Yes.
And I don't know. I'm proud of it. Happy about it.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks
Rhea.
For having me, Matt. It's so great.
Where can we? It's great to see you again.
Yeah, it's great
it's
to see you,
long.
My friend.
Where can people find out where you're going to be in their town?
All my live dates are on my website, which is just my name, Rheabutcher, and then also posting about those things on Twitter and Instagram, which are also my name. Mm-hmm. And you can also, I have a podcast, two podcasts, actually. I've Put Your Hands Together, which is first live stand-up podcast show, and also my baseball podcast called Three Swings, which is going to come back in full swing for the full season. You know, the baseball season's coming up, but there are off-season episodes that are coming out all the time, so check that out. And it's not just about baseball. I talk about other stuff. And I'm really good at talking about baseball.
There you go.
So it's a lot of fun to listen to.
Fun. If you want to call in anybody, that's 323-763-0228. Our Patreon is at Advice from a Dipshit. Throw us a couple bucks. Keep the podcast going. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. Please tell your friends. Rate and review the podcast. All that jazz. We're at Advice from a Dipshit on Facebook, at Dipshit Advice on Twitter. Theme song is by the lovely Ben Wise. Please subscribe and write a fun review. And thanks to Amanda, and thanks to everybody calling in. And big shout out to Chris for his patience.
Yeah.
Yay, and Chris.
And thanks for all the people watching. We will fix the calling
Instagram
thing.
Instagram Live. We're trying to figure out how to do video.
This is a first time thing for us.
So. Yeah. All right.
We'll get better.
It gets better.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Fronger.
What up?
And the Queen
Amanda. Hello and welcome.
I am a champion.
You really are a champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, your team won.
But yeah, I'm a literal champion. Yes, my team won. For once in my goddamn life.
Nice. But you've always been a champion to me.
Oh, so. Thank you, Matt.
Sure, buddy.
Aww.
Yes.
Gilly.
Champy.
I can't hear myself, but it doesn't matter to me. So,
Right. Are you sure? Okay, because I got your levels.
Okay. It's always like a turn here. There. Got it. It's always just the dumbest. Like, if you twist it slightly.
Yeah, the splitter is
electronics.
Really...
I replaced the cable to my exact same headphones, and it changed everything.
Really?
Yeah, you can get it one on the Evil website, Amazon, for like $10.
Okay, then I'll check in with Dr. Evil and get it. Yeah. Okay, let me know when we're ready to go.
All right, classic pause, and then we're ready.